Let's pray, and then we'll get clarity, Father. We thank you for this opportunity to look at your word, Lord, and you guide and direct this time, Lord. We pray and that you would teach us from your word, Lord. You would teach us this tool, Lord, to help study your word, Lord, to make the time that we spend with you somewhat easier, perhaps, and more beneficial to us, Lord, as you help us to tear verses apart. And so I thank you, and I praise you, and give you glory today, and ask again that you would teach us in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. So, as I pray about this month's study and what we should do, the Lord very clearly showed me that, yes, we want to be women of the Word, but he wanted me to give you guys a tool for studying the Word, and it's called Lesson Bible Study. I don't know how many of you have ever heard of it or used this method of study, but it's very good, and it really does help to tear verses apart and bring us to a place where we get application out of what we're studying. But before I do that, I wanted to share a devotional that I had a couple of weeks ago. As I do love God's word, but sometimes it's difficult to hear what he wants to teach us through his word, you know, because he wants, as we learned a couple of weeks ago, he wants to put his finger on things in our lives and remove things from our lives that don't belong in our lives. He wants to mold us, he wants to shape us, he wants to make us more into his image. And so there are, and his word even calls them, hard sayings of Christ. And this devotion was called the hard sayings of Christ. And it says, Lord, may I never be one of those who becomes offended at the hard sayings of yours. Many of your sayings are indeed hard, but may I never murmur against them or even decide to follow you no longer because of them. You disturb me often, Lord, both by your saying and by your actions in my life. But a Christ who never disturbed me, who never corrected me, who never disciplined me, would be a Christ unworthy of my trust. I don't know how many of you, even in your parenting, find there are things we don't like to do, you know, but are necessary in the training up of our children. If we didn't correct them, if we didn't discipline them, they'd be no better off, and they would even question our love for them. And so God gives us verses to correct us, to change us, to point something out in our life that doesn't belong. That might make us worse, but it's to make us more like him. It's for our betterment. And if he didn't do it, we'd question, well, why are you letting this continue in my life? It says, I pray to you for the many times you've comforted and consoled me and nursed my wounded feelings back to health. But I thank you also for the times you've refused to comfort me and told me to stop whining and get on with the job you've given me. Most of the time, when you give me a hard saying, I'm on the brink of a startling discovery about you or about myself. It is often a prologue to a wonderful thrust forward. It's like lightning on a black night, which suddenly reveals the landscape and shows me what I never knew was there. I don't know how many of you in a thunderstorm that does happen in the middle of the night, and when that flash of lightning comes, you can see everything that's around you. And it's so much like that in God's word. You know, when he speaks something to you, and maybe it's something you've heard before, but he shows it to you in a new way, and you almost go, never saw that before. I never thought of it in that way. He's illuminating something. He's bringing enlightenment. And, you know, we learned that a couple months ago that that's what he wants to do. He came to bring light into the darkness. And so it's like that flash of lightning. Hard sayings are always the dividers. They divide the true disciples from the spurious. Those ones that are just kind of sporadic. They divide truths from falsehoods. They divide right feelings from wrong. A hard saying is a purifier that strips away all the crusty accumulations and leaves me clean. Hard sayings are painful, Lord, and they hurt. But how much better to have a hard saying from Jesus, who loves me infinitely, than a smooth saying from Satan, who only wants to twist and bend me away from the Lord. Lord, give me a sense to appreciate, yes, love, your hard thing, and to take a giant stride to glory. I will never forget thy precepts, for with them thou hast given me life. That was Psalm 119:93. And then Lamentations 3:22-23 says, the Lord's loving kindness indeed never cease, for his compassion never fails. They are new every morning. Great is thy faithfulness. And how true is that, that his compassion, his mercy, are new every morning, no matter how much we moan it, or we may feel like a failure. His mercies are new. His compassions are new every morning. He doesn't hold things over our head. He never holds a grudge. When we lay at his feet, he forgives, he forgets. But he does want to correct us. He does want to shape us, mold us, and take us farther than we've ever been before. And sometimes it's hard what he has to say, but I am so blessed by that and so thankful for that.
Do we have the other
things here? I don't know, but you know, there are several. I love my devotional, and there are several of them that I get so much benefit from that. I'm going to have Fred order some copies of this one. It's called Daily with the King.
I love it.
And then there's another one that I read every day. It's called Streams in the Desert.
I love it.
That one, if I can't read anything else, I really enjoy that one. And then there's a few Amy Carmichael ones that are very good as well. And so I'm going to have Fred get some, and we're going to put them in the bookstore because we can get so much benefit out of those as well. But so, like I said, I prayed about what to do for this month's study. You know, I was thinking about a topic, and then, like I said, the Lord just really clearly showed me, let's give the ladies a tool. And it's called Inductive Bible Study, and there are basically three steps to Inductive Bible Study, and it asks several questions. In this one sheet, this was a tool we were given. We had studied in the book of John and Finger Lakes. And so there's some things in here that's going to refer to John. But, and you may go, what is she talking about with that? But that's because they were giving us some stuff. But I wanted to give you this sheet just so you can refer to it at times. But at the very beginning, it gives a basic outline for what inductive Bible study is. And but it starts out with verse chapter 8, verse 2, it says, early in the morning, Jesus came again into the temple, and all the people came unto him and sat down. And he sat down and he taught them. So that's what we want to do. We just want to sit at Jesus' feet, and we want to allow him to teach us through his word. And then it says that the scripture in Hebrews 13:8 tells us, Jesus is the same yesterday, today, and forever, and his desire is to teach us his word. So if you read through the details, you're learning how to study and examine the scriptures in an inductive style. These are the essential four things to remember. What does the scripture say? What does it mean? And what does it mean to me? And then we're going to live it out. So if you look at the other sheet I gave you, I basically have put it in a chart form. And the first area is basically just where you can put a verse that you're studying. And you just write it out word for word in there. Then the second column, it goes to the first question it asks here. What does it say? And basically you just make an observation about the verse itself. And I have some of these that we're going to go through, and we're going to look at how I have tears the verses apart and do this. And then you go to interpretation. So I look at the verse, I know what it says, but what does it mean? You know, so often we look at the scripture and we read it, and we go, I don't know, you know, what does that even mean? You know, I don't understand that at all. And this is where you're going to be able to tear it apart and say, that's what that word means. You know, I don't understand that word, and I'm going to go figure out what that word means. And then the last step is, what does it mean to me, or what does it mean for me? Because all scripture is inspired by God, and it's for our correction, for reproof, for teaching, for anything we could possibly need and for our lives, and we should be able to apply it to our lives. And so the last step in inductive Bible study is application. And is the Lord speaking something specific to me about this verse? And
that he wants to do something, and there's action that he wants me to take and inherit it. So I was one step further and I said, well, now that he shows me what it means for me, he wants me to live it out. So first, I would like to go to Joshua.
You know,
on the other side of the flood or the gods of the Amorites in whose land you dwell. But my interpretation of this is, there are several different gods that I can serve. But I don't want to serve those. So in the interpretation column, I would write, there are several gods. But I don't want to serve those. Because as I looked at the rest of this verse, it's saying there's the God of the fathers on the other side of the flood, there's the God of the Amorites. But there's also the Lord mentioned in this verse. And that's why that mud comes in here, because there's more than one. And then the next word that we highlighted there was for me. So this is personal. I have a choice to make. So in my interpretation column, I would write next to the me, I would write, I personally have a choice. It becomes personal here. One and decide, you know, and it says my house. So this isn't just personal, but we want our whole household, everybody who's under our roof, to do this as well. So in your interpretation column, as you look at my house, you could write there, all people under my roof, or however the Lord shows you, or whoever the Lord shows you that means. When guests come in your home, you know, I'm not going to put aside what I see because I have guests in my home. I'm not going to not pray over meals because somebody might be offended, or I'm not going to do devotions with my kids because I have somebody in my home. My household, me and my household, that includes anybody who's under my roof whenever they're under my roof. And then the next word we looked at was we. It no longer is just myself separated out from everybody or the people in my house. It becomes us all. We. And then we looked at will serve. Here I see this is an action. This isn't just something that you sit by and think is going to happen. It's action. We will serve. And it's deliberate. I will do this. And then if there's a word that perhaps you're like, okay, Lord, it says there that it will serve, but I'm not really sure what serve means. You might want to go to a dictionary and look up definitions for serve. Or on the Blue Letter Bible, I can click on the word serve, and I can go into the concordance. I can go down to you will serve. I can open that up, and it will give me the part of speech. It will give me what, in the Old, I believe the Old Testament is Greek, Hebrew, so it will give me the Greek interpretation of this word. So to serve is to labor. It's not easy to serve the Lord, but it's work. Sometimes the second definition says it's a work for another. So it's usually not necessarily to pour it on yourself, but it's to do for somebody else. We asked for meals this week, and we had a refrigerator full of meals. And we were serving the Lord by doing this. It was work we did for somebody. It says the fourth definition is to serve God. So it's a work for God himself. And then it continues on to do, you know, to give many other definitions here. But so you can actually go in and word by word break down a verse if you want to. You know, you can get that into that much detail. But then it says, we went on and then highlighted the word, the Lord. And so this is all for the Lord. And so, again, you can say, all right, I know that it's for the Lord, but specifically, what does that mean? So I could go back in and I could look at the concordance and I could say, what does that mean? To serve the Lord. Let's see what they meant when they did this. And it says, Jehovah. We are serving Jehovah, the existing one. It is the proper name of the true God.
We are serving the one true God.
Because in the rest of the verse, remember it says, there's the God of the Amorites, there's the God of the Father before the flood, there's all of these people. But when we serve, me, when I personally serve, when my household serves, when we all come together, we are serving the one true God. And so that is how you can break a verse specifically down. And then you need to look at it as the Lord shows you these observations and interpretations. This is what the verse means. Then you're going to pray and you're going to say, okay, Lord, I now know what this verse means. What do you want to do in my life with this verse? And that's where the fourth column here comes in, the application part. The Lord may have been saying to you, as we were breaking this down and we were looking at this, the Lord may have brought somebody to mind. Or, I'm getting my phone because I'm asking. but maybe the Lord brought a situation to mind. Maybe there's something going on in your house where you're saying, I'm not serving you anymore. I'm not. hey, Ryan, how are you? Yeah. portion of the scripture. It's just basically taking a verse, looking at it, you know, determining what it means, whether it's you use references to get the meaning, whether you use a tool like the Letter Bible, whether you actually get out and look through dictionary and look up definitions, whether maybe you need to go to somebody and ask, I have no clue what this means, you know. They can do that with any section of scripture and then how to apply it. I know this looks a little different than the one that you had, but as I was learning this method, I had just chunked it into three columns, and up at the top of this observation column, I wrote out the verse, and this was Psalm 90, verse 12. It says, so teach us to number our days, that we may apply our hearts unto worship. And so then I broke it down in the observation points. I saw that it said us, we, and our. I underlined them. I observed that it said teach us. Number our days, that we may. I saw that as a specific portion of that verse, that we may. And then the last part that I observed was apply our hearts unto worship. And then I started to break it down in the interpretation column. What does it mean? And the first thing that I noticed was that this is to believers, because it says teach us, we, our, that this was a question from a believer, a command from a believer. Teach us, we who are yours, those who desire to follow God. And then that it's something that we have to learn, because it says teach us. It's something that doesn't come naturally to us. It's something we have to learn. We need to be taught this. And then I saw that that we can't know the actual quantity, the actual number of our days, but we need to consider each day as given by God, no matter how many there are. And in my interpretation of this, I thought, well, each day must be important, because it's asking, teach us to number our days. And then I had said, we have a choice, or something to do with this, because it says that we may. So as I thought about that, okay, we may. Again, that word may is a choice. We could do it. Yes, I can. My kids are right now going through this. When I ask them a question, I have to phrase it correctly, because if I don't, if I say, can you please set the table? They'll all go, yes, I can. Okay, let me rephrase that. Will you set the table? But it's a choice. This is May. And it says to apply our hearts. It's an action. It's something that we need to do. I can't just sit back and say, oh, it's going to happen. You know, I'm going to see each day as important, and, you know, and I'm going to push it. No, it's something that we need to do. It was taking an action. So I saw that that's what these verses meant. Wisdom, you know, we need to seek after, to desire wisdom. You know, as I went into the concordance, and wisdom, I had looked up that, the use of knowledge that has been given. Okay, here I am, but this word is worship. I'm going, okay, where does wisdom come from? It says that we can apply our hearts unto wisdom, not worship, sorry. And so that's why I then went into the concordance and I looked up wisdom, and that is using the knowledge that we've been given. And what we've learned, so that application. And so then I came over here, and okay, Lord, now I know, as I break this verse down, what it means. What does it mean to me, you know, and personally, you know, I need to seek after how God would have me put into action what I've learned. You know, we are a very blessed people. You know, we have good pastors to teach us. We have, you know, numbers of Bibles in our homes and radio, you know, programs we can listen to. You can go online, you can get, you know, Costa Mesa, you can listen to Chuck Smith, you can Rosemary Hamilton last Saturday on VXV, you know, you can, there's so many excellent teachings that we can go to, but I need a bit of good action. You know, I can't just keep thinking and thinking and thinking in. You know, I need to do something with what I've learned. And then I had to question myself, am I wasting time on foolish things? You know, for me, sometimes I can get wrapped up in my thoughts and they can go around and around and around, and I can spend hours wrapped up in my thoughts. Am I wasting my time? You know, or am I making the most of every opportunity with my kids and at the grocery store? You know, how many times has somebody made a comment to you? And instead, you know, you just smile and walk away, or, you know, you can tell your cashier is having a bad day. Do I make the most of those opportunities? Am I making the most of opportunities in the church? You know, and so that's how I tore down. I have others here.
Thank you.
he was, but he was talking to the murmuring Jews, you know, and he would put it this way, you know, but see, we show it, you know, we love the Lord in a way that the joy of the Lord is our strength. Does it look like what we say? Can you see it on us? You know, and can people look at you and say, there's something different about you? You know, you're going through some really tough, but there's a spirit about you that is different, and I want to know that, you know? So, that's again, be an example of faith, you know? How do you trust the Lord? Do you believe His word? Do you believe His promises, you know? Or do you say you do, but you don't, you know? So, you want to be that example. God's word says it, I believe it, and can people see that in you? Are you an example that you trust the Lord? And purity. Are your actions pure? Are your words pure? Are the things you do pure? Or are you doing them with the right motives? Or do people look at you and go, call themselves Christians, you know? And obviously, we all make mistakes. Obviously, we all go through tough times where our faith is tested. We all go through times where, you know, it's hard to have joy on your faith, you know? And no, there are many different things. But you know, and you look at the whole picture, is your normal, everyday living, does it show the Lord? You know, yes, we'll have moments. Well, I'll have, you know, bumps in the road, but and those can be expected. But your day-to-day living, does it show Christ? You know, are you an example? And then I had to go through and say, okay, Lord, now I know that's what that means, and I have to look at it personally, you know, no matter where I am in the Lord, maturity level, I am to be an example of Him in every aspect or area of my life. Do people hear Christ, see Christ, feel Christ, desire Christ because of me? Do they trust Christ? And then He brought me, and sometimes the application part is going to bring other scriptures, you know, slow to speak, quick to listen, slow to become angry. And then He brought me to the verse about soft answers, you know, because I can get harsh, especially with my kids, you know. And then I get a final thought right here. You're going to show by all of these why you are in the position you're in. You know, don't give a reason for anybody to say, oh, she's young and foolish. Or, you know, why would I want a relationship with Christ? Because look at what it means. You know, it doesn't do anything. Or, you know, they act worse than I do, you know? Because I know it's transformed how I study the Bible, because instead of just reading through, okay, I got that done. And now, even if I get one verse on a day, I can look at that verse and just break that one verse down, you know? And it's amazing what the Lord can show you in one verse as you tear it apart. So, if you have any questions, if you... you know, want help or anything, please let me know. We probably would just give you a little bit as well, but it really is a beneficial thing. I mean, if you look at this piece of paper, this verse is, you know, it's one line. If you were to look at it in your Bible, it might take up two lines, but look at all that the Lord pours out of one verse when you actually look at it and tear it apart. Your love letter to us, Lord, your guidance for our lives and your word, Lord. We pray that we would treasure it, that we would want to go deeper and deeper in, Lord, and that this would just be a tool in our hands that you've given us, Lord. So we thank you. We give you praise for this time. In Jesus' name, amen.